like it was a neighbor of mine in Dublin 6, and a friend, a neighbor of mine in language. And the poem is called Sáilteach na Mícheál, Images of Mícheál, and it's a pastiche of different bits and pieces, a mosaic that didn't leave me. Sáilteach na Mícheál. Ibri malartain ar an aisianta, nor filiachta ar a bhlóin ag bracú lé, cóplar oscailte os a chóir, pan ré. Teach bheag a gant ar ibri ar roed, in se chóir, ráid i éirin laig a nila ag lúbú fú gín in spraidu. Dyni bheag mór, fyr an ach sásta ílachar ar chosbainar, is a chóir tún lechi léimach. Ní tarka cyrru fín wynil, a mwynta drónín, farba fín a hínar. Gorgal ilse ashtrahora, yanan shanagra fi alin velvet ag ishin, bachapal rash fi shukal, dalag again. A gwenye gara cha haracha ma vrood ar raid, ma gyll amair ma fargin na chrysha, eishtam di yan, fustam rivet a hortal, arkan da in chren, da chren da bur, da mor, is all in ein imbi. Chymodw shkiin ma shach lachayur, suas a noas, Fuir a chruach in a lan in iai asa, ar o dór chú gant ar a chú, brad an eich sir a fuir a chrú, fuir a eichel. Hír ort sa djerum, tu heid, hugad ar an tam wal a chlinadit, un scahan cam, no lúd a hangi is a grás da wach nir hicsit, mac mô a brí, a iantu, iam. Is scuil amach na paesti gaina, to haru ar a siri grá, alim. Eet ik hem ach glorig jouw geirte en schrijd je nu karig.
Is Pauline Fain in those? You're up next. Thanks very much.
This is called The Visit, because I like to visit Michael's grave and have a kind of conversation about what I've been getting up to in the years since I last visited. So, the visit. As visitors do, I thought to bring armfuls of flowers, or a single stem graceful with dew, searched each shop display for the perfect petaled gift, thought of culling wild woodbine from hedgerows, or the bright red berries winter birds feed on, but arrived with empty hands, took instead of gave a pebble from your grave.
Coromandel. And next up we'll have a man who is no stranger to this premises, John W. Sexton.
The true poet beckons for effort. Your pony grazed along an acre of grass that reached no cross or finish. White thorn blossom was a thin money that you bruised with a pinch. Even when the wind was dry or the sun was alight, you had rain in your pockets, rain in your mind. In your coat of blackbirds, you were the tune in the hedge. When you were gone, gone, you were never dead. Your shoes of grass await in the grass for those who step where you stepped.
Beautiful. And Leonard Holman. You, John Shaw?
Leonard?
Yeah.
Paul O'Connor?
I just says Leonard Holman.
Holman.
Okay. I'm going to pretend I never actually said those words, right? And I'm just going to ask Hugh McFadden to come up.
The first poem I wrote for Michael after he died was a one called A Lament for Michael Harkness and his friends. From an early age, the voice was true, precocious, mature, prodigious, and a wonderful portent of a rare talent. And I quoted those lines from the first poem of Michael's I read in Poetry Ireland magazine, 62, autumn 62, before I met him, a month later. And quoted the line, sad singing in darkness. Reading a piece about Michael before I came here on the train on the way down, the author quotes Wordsworth regarding Michael and said, "We poets in our youth begin in gladness, but thereof come in the end despondency and madness." Although, you know, to be perfectly honest, for a long time he was one of the saddest people I knew. My poem from here in this collection, you know, I Live in Michael Harkness, is 9 Mays later. It was 9 years after he died, the 9th May. "Michael, it is not my green garden on this misty May morning that makes me sad. All that transfer of emotion to the external seeing landscape is so yesterday. All that words worthy in personification, no. This melancholy is purely personal, completely internal. Yesterday a book arrived with tributes and memories compiled by your son Niall, notes from his contemporaries, a tribute to Michael Harkness. Reading it caused my sadness, remembering distant days in Nisa Street and the Green, you declaiming your sweet verse in that lilting voice of yours. This May morning, a fine mist envelops my garden, so green, lush, and full of life. But the light is dull, sky grey, as silence pervades this room where I sit and remember. Enough gloom. We need music and a shamnos singer, a limerick fiddler, and a pure tin whistler taking flight like a songbird, dispelling all melancholy."
Next up, we'll have Paul O'Colman, please.
Hi. I used to meet Michael long before I really knew who he was. And I was living in West Kerry with my wife and kids, and we'd wander into, or head into the big city of Tralee. And we often met this little bird-like man, mad for conversation. I've never met anybody so hungry for conversation in my life. And years afterwards, and I heard the story of how, of the wrens, and you know, he saw a bird when he was young, he saw a bird fly into a hedge, and he went over to one of the hedge and see what it was, and a nest of wrens burst out, and they got caught on his ganzi. And his grandmother apparently sent him a necklace of wrens, he'll be a poet. And I just thought it was amazing, because he always reminded me of that. This is called Epilogue. "Like a wren he was, bright and quick and brown, head angled to miss no trick, hair like down, brushed, feathered around the black bird eyes. And what a sound we heard from that almost elusive wren poet, half hidden, giving a full throat to all he saw or felt or missed, for any naturalist of song to hear. And he flits among the brambles of our thoughts, his song caught, hedged round, a sound that proves them wrong."
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for that. And followed up, we'll have Joe Healy, please.
Thanks for the. I live near the Pestalist, but it seems the title has come from the school, one of the schools in the Pestalist. There's one of the estates is called the Mulcantapnet. So they were in one of the national schools one day, and I think a visiting poet was in, and he said, "Does anybody know Michael Hartnett?" And a kid from the back piped, "So I live in Michael Hartnett." So that's how we got the title of the book. My poem is on page 51. It's in 2008 there was a big flood in Castle West. River burst its banks, and the poem is it's a letter to Michael. It's called a letter to Michael, August 2008. Dear Mr. Hartnett, I have long been an admirer of your work. 'Tis sorry I am our paths never crossed. I went to school with a young brother of yours, Ranine we called him, the small rain. Met another brother once. He said he did not think much of wasting time reading poetry and poems. He'd rather cards or horses. Don't know where to post this, upper or lower Maiden Street. Sure, Castle West will find you, they know your name. North Quay was flooded last week, and down by your old skull, cars were washed down the Arra by Schoolhouse Lane. Timber floated in furniture showrooms. Wine bottles bobbled in eating houses. What a waste that was, Michael. Rich and poor, shopkeepers and paupers, they were all hit. But still, through it all, people were great to their neighbours. The flood was at 1 a.m. When the current went off, people were in pure darkness. The old people were terrified. No one died. Weren't the old people clever long ago when they left Maiden Street for the higher ground of the park? I must go now, Michael. Mind yourself. Signed, a poet. P.S. I will send you my latest work soon, The Peaceful River Arra. Thank you. There's a friend of Michael's daughter here, and she was wondering if anyone has the poem Lara, or she would like to read it, but if anyone has, could you give me a copy of it? Thank you. Thanks.
Is Carmel Cummins here?
Know Michael Hartnett to my sorrow, but I'm so grateful for him. Kesht agus fragra eigin na tanga. Isanish mahaq teifle fodra. Aptar jeshigum, rauagum, de ara chakram. Agus popula kursus in ein aitis ansa lum. Kojaun beder, the thai boga kushev kudain. Apni hiyan antrak the thai gesht, apni ask kaltru. And it's okay to read one more, because it's a friend of mine, I do know him, Mark Rover, and I just think his poem is wonderful. Curlew Sandpiper in the Natural History Museum for Michael Hartnett. Always a startle to see it still there, pinned to a split second, head bent at work and wary, one eye sharp for departure, delicately, quick-wittedly winged, thin beak, all instinct. Thanks very much. Mm.
The poem Lara has been located, so that's that. But we just finished with the anthology, but first we can read that out then after that. Yeah. So next up we have the author of The Invisible Threshold, among many other collections, Catherine Phil McCarthy, please.
I first heard Michael Hartnett read in 1970.
he was reading from Kulu Ida, the retreat of Michael, the retreat about Academy. I grew up in County Limerick, and my cousins lived in a place called Camas, and we often visited there. And it's a townland in West Limerick in the district known as Monaghan. And when I was a child, we called it, that was what we called it, we would go back to Monaghan. And my mother used to say, "We go back to Monaghan now tomorrow." And I thought, why does my mother not pronounce it properly? And this is the answer. Mon na nye. The signpost in Irish made sense. My mother's pronunciation all those years of Monaghe, in my mind's eye one evening at Camas, just saying goodbye, a gaggle of slow geese, bustling across the road field to the pond by the gate in a straggling line, imperious, serene, ladies in white flounced lace. In late summer heat, ambling to a ball, ready at the least inspection to take umbrage. Lift wings and flap, rush long snake-like necks across the sand at us and hiss. Flightless birds, poised for ambush or takeoff, gleamed in advance. Nothing to do with a golden egg, more precious goose fat. Strongest quills paired for a pin. Downy feathers plucked for a quilt beside the range that sinewy span a goose wing.
That was wonderful. Is there anybody else who'd like to read from the anthology? From I Live in McLarney. Actually, I know that Jerry Lane? Requested that somebody would read his contribution. Does anybody want to take on that task? Joe? Anybody else? This is the last. The last call for I Live in McLarnet.
Maybe we should mention that the poem Hagiography, you might read it as Ptolemaean, and it has the title. It's
okay.
It's the very last poem in the book.
Okay. Well, I'll read Jerry Lang's contribution first.
Billy, will I read it? I know Jerry.
Yeah, that'd be great, actually. Yeah.
I just need to look at it.
Yeah.
When I first saw Jerry Lyne's poem in this, I said, "I mean, Jesus, it's Jerry Lyne." But I actually know him. He's from the parish of Tussis, where I'm living past 30 years. I know him as Gerald Lyne. He was the archivist at the National Library, and he knew Michael very well. Michael had him pestered for words and all kinds of things. I'm reading this kind of cold, but you're not doing my best. He simply called it for Michael Hartnett. You wore an outsized cap, but the kind one might find in a stall in Rathkeel on a fair day. Yet still, it sat snugly enough on your unkempt crown. With your ploughman's gait, I watched you more than once negotiate the banks of the Grand Canal on the arm betimes of the lady, your partner. She had, it seemed, a certain aura of long suffering. At the end, I suppose, it was the brandy that bore you up. The first poem by you that ever I read was in a slim collection through which I browsed in the Ablana bookshop on Grafton Street in 1969. Its owners, decent folk, were endlessly indulgent. Generous was the space that they afforded. We browsed but rarely brought. Your baby sister's eyes, sealed in death, at once, you said, been thrush's eggs. Repeatedly, your father interjected, how goes the night, boy? At the end of all, you told him, it is dawn. I still recall the catch in my throat from that dialogue drawn. The first time ever I talked to you was in the National Library. You had papers for sale, which, with no haggling on either side, we bought. One day, not long, I'd say, before you passed away, I called on you. You were setting out places for dinner guests. Did you know, you said, I trained as a chef, desserts boy for my speciality. Already you'd set up elaborate confections, sculpted to a turn, but I had come to look at a residue of your literary stuff. With a fine irreverence, you termed it the scrapings of me old barrel. You took me through to show it in the kitchen. It proved interesting enough. We emerged to discover a large and portly Tom perched easily upon your table, demolishing one of your delicate confections. Bold pussy, bold pussy, you intoned, cuffing him gently round his well-upholstered gob, until he chose, eventually, to take himself off. Unfazed, in the refrigerator, you deposited all, securely, save only target of that errant Tom, which you proceeded, there and then, to replenish, resculpt, repair, that too, when you had done, you made to put away, but stopped abruptly, pirouetted on one foot, then poised Nureyev-like with contrite mien, you proffered it. Jerry, you said, didn't I clean forget? Sure, maybe you might like a bit.
So I'll just wrap up this part of the evening by reading Hagiography by Paul Meehan, and then we'll have another brief break and we'll be back to the open mic, okay? Just back from H. and Michael Hartnett, you'd have to laugh. Your corpse not even cold yet. Very aboriginal to be beneath a sign at the brand new estate. Address, Michael Hartnett Close, Newcastle West. Its position is perfect, right opposite Coon Lane. Stood there in the pouring rain with your son, across from the Healing Streams Therapy Centre, St. Vincent de Paul, with an earshot of the river on a quiet day. Get this, the story Joan McKernan told us of the poetry workshop for children earlier. When she'd asked who'd heard of Michael Hartnett, the lad who cried, "Miss, miss, I live in Michael Hartnett." I recognised the mantra like a glittering speck of mica, whirling down the bardos from another incarnation, and the flash of recognition has it graven on my brain. All together now, I live in Michael Hartnett. I live in Michael Hartnett. I live in Michael Hartnett. Thanks very much.